And welcome back to Success Made to Last International Trendsetter Series. I'm Rick Tocchini. This series is about the art and science of marketing, its reinvention, the harnessing of rapid change, giving you, the listener, emerging ideas from around the globe to help your company create your best version. Our host is Deborah Malone, marketing pioneer and guru, highly opinionated, daring, and a trendsetter. She is the internationalist, connecting people and ideas in international advertising, media, and marketing through intelligent content. Join Deborah today in the pursuit of reshaping the future of marketing. Here's Deborah Malone.
Thanks, Rick, and welcome to another Internationalist Trendsetter Show. Today's guest is Jody Harris, Global Vice President, Marketing Culture and Capabilities at Anheuser-Busch InBev, the world's largest brewer with well over 500 brands and countless beer varieties. She has been instrumental in building the Anheuser-Busch marketing culture in the U.S. by igniting a passion for learning and creativity to empower the company's people and its partners. Since October, her responsibilities have expanded globally, where she continues to shape creative leadership and culture as AB InBev aspires to live their purpose of bringing people together for a better world. The secret to her success is leading with empathy to shift minds and hearts. Anheuser-Busch has responded quickly to the coronavirus, from using manufacturing facilities to make hand sanitizers and face shields, as well as redirecting sports and entertainment marketing funds to the Red Cross. Today, we're talking with Jody about what it takes to reimagine marketing as winning brands find new ways to thrive in a disrupted world. Our conversation is intended to help everyone dream big by seeing how collaboration among local teams at scale can make a difference. Welcome to the show, Jody.
Okay, Jody, it's such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for being on the show. Let me just start out with a quick question that everybody's kind of curious today as we're all in lockdown here. But how are you managing to keep up with the pace of work? You also have a global role. So how are you connecting with your teams around the world?
Well, first, Deborah, thank you so much for inviting me to participate. I think it's really important. Well, it's good to see you and hear you too. But it's really important, that you're having these sessions because I think, you know, we all really need to learn from each other, right? There's the case studies on the PowerPoint templates and the case studies that are being written up in different journals and interviews. But I think, having the conversations is sometimes some of the best way to learn about how to manage through all of this. And how am I doing? I'm doing well, actually, considering, relatively well, considering the situation that we're in. As you know, I live in Brooklyn, right outside of New York City, and I have two small ones at home, 6.5-year-old twins. And we left. Learning how to be a kindergarten science teacher at the moment. We left Brooklyn about a month ago. We're now in Buffalo, where I'm from originally, to have a little extra help during the day and then also to have space for the kids and for us from a well-being perspective has been really helpful. I have a global responsibility. I lead a team called Global Marketing Culture and Capabilities. We have groups of folks all around the world in each of our big zones with this responsibility. And our goal really is about empowering and enabling our marketing organization to be, you know, the best that they can be. And that's, you know, fostering a culture of learning, fostering a culture of creativity. We started this program. It's a newer type of group about 2 years ago in the United States. In our U.S. zone, and we've scaled it since over the past couple of months. But the program has largely been dependent on in-person collaboration and engagement and team building. Mm-hmm. And so you can imagine the shift to go digital and virtual and online has been, you know, something that's, you know, I don't want to say challenging because it's a welcome challenge. And in fact, I think it needed to happen sooner. So it's the situation has helped us to accelerate that. But overall, you know, keeping up with the pace and connecting with the teams, you know, engagement is key to everything that we do. And that starts, of course, first and foremost with our team's personal safety and well-being and checking in on each other, you know, every day. And then, you know, I'd say the next key area is around making sure we have clear expectations and priorities that align to the business needs. And like many other companies in CPG, our business need is people first, right? It's yes. Really, you know, the consumer, but I think the consumer above all else is a human being, as a person, and really being able to anticipate their behaviors and their needs at this moment. So the pace is quite busy, right? Because we've got to adapt and accelerate in real time. Yes. While the world around us is also adapting and accelerating as well.
Well, I must say, though, talking about the business, I certainly think that Anheuser-Busch has responded very quickly to this virus. I mean, in just an extraordinary number of ways, and I'm sure there's even more than what the general public knows about, but we're seeing everything from your manufacturing facilities, making hand sanitizers and face shields, plastic face shields in Brazil, and I think that everyone was really touched by that wonderful redirection of your sports marketing to the Red Cross with the One Team commercial, which I am just stunned that you could do it all so quickly. I know that you personally talk a lot about leading with empathy to shift minds and hearts. And I've always loved the minds and hearts thing in connection with marketing, because I think that's what marketing is at its core.
Yeah.
But is it a company ethos too, as well as your kind of personal ethos?
That's a really good question. And thank you also for the kind words about the programming. We've got an incredible team around the world, and not just within marketing, but our AB InBev family. And we operate and thrive in a culture of ownership. Hmm. And, you know, especially in times where our will is being put to test,
yes,
both as, you know, as individuals, as well as an organization, mm-hmm. It's incredible to see our teams really come together to do something to make an impact in the world. And in fact, that's the purpose of our company. Mm-hmm. Our purpose statement is bringing people together for a better world, which we know beer as an industry and as a product has been able to do for forever.
yes, since some of the monks were brewing it or whatever. Yes. Yeah.
Totally. And, you know, I think the way that we're structured too is, you know, we're a company of local communities. And we have the ability and the power to really scale things up at a global level, and I think that's been sort of the winning recipe, if you will, for how we can move quickly, right? So being able to really empower our people and provide collaborative avenues to work together, to dream really big. In fact, that's one of the ethos, I think, of our company. In fact, one of our founding, board members used to say, or still says, right, it takes the same amount of energy to dream big or small, so why not dream big? And so that's become one of our catchphrases. And I think when you look at the possibilities and the role that we have to play in bringing people together for a better world, why not just go for it? And I think in the case of, you know, hand sanitizer, we were able to figure out a solution relatively quickly. And Brazil operations was the first to adopt it and just go within a matter of, you know, days. Mm-hmm. And now I think we're up to almost 3 million hand sanitizers that have been produced and distributed and donated to the front lines. Which is incredible, right? It makes us feel incredibly proud, but it's also the right thing to do, right? And that's about anticipating behaviors and needs. And that's also about empathy, right? Really understanding the needs of not just consumers, right? Just to consume our products and purchase our products, but we also have to think about our customers. Mm-hmm. Like one of the hardest hit areas is the hospitality industry, and mm-hmm. bars and restaurants are part of our family as well. And so, for example, we've launched a really great initiative with our Stella Artois brand globally around the world, where we're basically, it's called Save the Restaurants, and we've sold more than $1 million in vouchers to help bars through up until the recovery period, which has been incredible.
Give us the name of that operation again. It went out just a little bit. Which brand did you do that, or
our Stella Artois brand?
Oh, Stella. Okay, Stella yeah. Artois. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I thought it might have been, but the Stella part got buried a little bit. But yeah,
no problem.
So Stella Artois is doing the Save the Restaurants initiative.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes.
And we also have some local brands in some markets doing similar things too. Like in Europe, we have a Save the Pub program, for example.
Of course.
So
must be done, or the British way of life will certainly go away. Yes.
it all goes back to just really understanding people's needs and also being patient to learn what those needs are too. And I think here, this is where we can leverage technology and all of the incredible data sources that are available about how people are, how they're socializing, right? That's another big area for us, clearly. How they're connecting with people virtually, and where we can provide perhaps either some relief or some inspiration with the brands.
Yeah, no, you're right. It seems that as easily as people were able to adapt to working at home, the thing that most people miss, at least in the conversations I have, is they miss their teams. And there's something about connecting virtually that may not be somehow as humanly satisfying as literally being in the same room. Although I realize we're all saving air miles to some degree. I guess there are pros and cons. But, the other thing I wanted to ask you a little bit about is I remember when we worked together on that Marketing Makes a World of Difference program, that a big part of your role is fostering creativity. And do you want to talk a little bit about that now and how that's working in quarantine?
Yeah, I think it's really incredible to see in real time how creativity is accelerating. I think more traditionally the work, right? So campaigns and
well, the one team was content. Amazingly creative in my mind. It was just amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's we're so proud of that work. And in fact, we've scaled it across the world.
With different teams, different local teams. Yeah, great.
Mainly still on the Budweiser brand, but in other markets where we don't operate with Budweiser, mm-hmm. they're adopting. And I think it's a wonderful partnership we have with the Red Cross anyway. To leverage that and build that even more. But anyway, back to the creativity piece, there is the more traditional sort of comms content excellence piece, but then there's also, innovation in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. Ingenuity, moment in time. And I hate saying, out of a crisis, out of innovation comes out of disruption, et cetera, right? Got that. Mm-hmm. But this sense of ingenuity that we're seeing with our people and our partners is really incredible. And it's about really fostering this culture of learning and creativity. And, a couple ways that we do this is one, setting that ambition, right? Really dreaming big in terms of what behavior or belief change do we need to make with the audience? Mm-hmm. And again, going beyond just content. How do we inspire our folks, right? How do we inspire our teams? And so we were doing a lot of this in person because it was an engagement initiative, but we're actually moving everything online at the moment and it's working really well. So one thing fun that we do is we call it Beer and Creativity. Mm-hmm. We do it every other week and we look at some of the great branded case examples. It could be during COVID, it could be, from a few years back. But it's a way for our teams as well as our agency partners to get on a Zoom call and yes. have a great discussion, right, about just, you know, language and in real time, seeing the inspiration flow, and then the teams go back literally an hour later and start working on programs because they're so inspired to do so. And so there's a little bit of nurturing in terms of the capability that we need to build from a creative perspective as well. And then I think really importantly is around celebrating and recognizing that level of, you know, inventiveness and cleverness. And also I think there's a bit of resilience that comes along with creativity too, because it's not a one and done, right? It takes time, and everybody's got an opinion.
Yes.
On the work itself.
I think it's amazing. I actually had never heard someone really differentiate between innovation and ingenuity. And I think that you've done it well, because the ingenuity seems to be an individual is more empowered to run with it, which works so nicely with what your ethos, you know, is, and then connecting with teams, which is wonderful, unless you have a better definition.
I love how you said that. Thanks, Deborah.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll both have to write it down. Yes.
But I think what's actually really important here is, you know, sometimes when we're in a situation like we're in, all of us, we have to make some choices. And there's things that you need to make sure that you're planning from a continuity perspective. And creativity and the culture of creativity and learning that we've been building for the past couple of years, more specifically, can't stop. We've got to find other avenues to inspire, to nurture, and celebrate. And, you know, although some of the big programs and events have, you know, maybe been postponed for a little bit, it doesn't mean that, you know, the work that we do has to stop, right? The work that we do now has to matter even more. And I think, you know, from sort of the fun, you know, out there elements of creativity that maybe were so admired, and I would even dare to say purpose has probably gotten a little bit fluffy. It's a great time for anybody working on a brand or connected to a brand to go back and understand what is the real role that your brand plays in people's lives today, and how can you make a real difference by addressing their real needs? And that could be, you know, something as basic as, you know, psychological safety, all the way up through the pyramid of Maslow to you know, something a bit more personal and meaningful, or even a sense of belonging as well, which is so important, especially today.
No, it's interesting that you say that, because I've been wondering during this crisis, as marketers who are getting it right and having let's call it a more purposeful message, I'm wondering if it's something that they're doing for the moment, or if they're finding how they've been a purpose-led company, or I'm hoping they're not thinking, you know, that, well, in a week we can find our purpose and mention it and then go back to normal, because I think it is just like your description of creativity. It is an evolution, and it takes a lot of commitment and you know, transformation. There's something related to this that you recently said. I know I saw it actually on one of your LinkedIn posts about the shields, the face shields in Brazil. You said, reimagine what your business can do right now for people. And you've been really talking a lot about that. Do you have advice now for marketers in terms of how they should be responding? Or does that one line really sum it up in terms of how marketers should be thinking now?
I can add a little bit more context and color to it. I believe that marketing is going through a fundamental change right now. And part of my role is I run all of marketing capabilities for our company with an incredible team who is trying to keep up with the pace of change. And accelerate some of the areas that we knew we should have been building capabilities around. And I think there was a quote or an article with Sir Martin Sorrell maybe about a week or two ago that just said, you know, if you haven't gone through your digital transformation, it's too late. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, as we look at marketing, it's not about, okay, how's marketing going to change in the next 2 to 3 years? And how do we get our teams ready for that? We've got to be not building the capabilities, but doing the capabilities now. So the future capabilities, you know, that we need to be developing, that we would have said, you know, for 2 or 3 years down the line are, is now. And so we have to hold ourselves accountable and not hold ourselves back to adhering to sort of the old rigor of models and incumbent ways. Other ways we'll never get ahead. So I think we can't be afraid. We have to be smart about it, right? We have to prioritize and make smart choices in terms of where we want to invest in those capabilities. And when I say capabilities, I'm not saying here's a training program. I'm saying a new fundamental business model, right? And then making sure that you are codifying the routine, the processes, the approach around that almost in real time, right? We got to be able to adopt those new approaches now. And we're not going to get them all right, right? But this is the real time to test and learn and go fast, right? So we've also got a saying here, like we can't afford to worry about perfection.
That's interesting. No, that is very interesting. That you can't worry about perfection at a time like this, provided that you are sensitive. And I think that's key. Now in the midst of all this, you, I believe, still have an additional role, don't you, in actually helping the world's largest brewer earn distinction as the most nurturing environment for women marketers in beer? Now, are you managing that role as well?
I'm not managing the role. I love the way that you put that, because I think that is a goal every company should have. Especially in a time like now where inclusion is so incredibly important, from, you know, diversity of ideas and perspective, and the way that, you know, some of these perhaps like crisis management teams are being formed. And there's a level of patience that is expected and needed so that you can really understand people's points of views. But when it comes to gender, I've been championing this area with several other incredible people at our organization to really provide an environment that's as equal and balanced and unbiased as possible. And I think in the past, you know, 2 years in particular, we've been doing quite a bit more within the marketing area. So our relationship with See Her, you know, looking at the way that even beyond See Her, looking at how we're segmenting audiences. So trying to move beyond, I think, the old gender stereotypes, not even just in the work, but in the strategy itself. And, you know, by nature of broadening our business models, you know, of course, beer is still our bread and butter, but looking at non-alcoholic beer, looking at adjacent categories, and looking at, you know, new forms of ways that people connect through digital and e-commerce, that naturally opens up new avenues for people, right, for recruitment. And so female women, right? This is 51% of the U.S. population, if not around the world. So it just naturally becomes more the right thing to do. But specifically for our employees, you know, there is the Women in Beer group that is now global. We've got our WhatsApp, and we're actually connecting more than we ever have throughout the crisis, because we're sharing best practices for, you know, it could be anything from family moments to connecting with your friends to how to address certain situations with partners or in, you know, negotiations. So it's been really, I think that's, we're creating a nurturing environment by just connecting with each other and listening to each other.
Interesting.
And that's, yeah. So it's been, you know, we can't stop, especially now, I think with the crisis, we have to protect, there's some research that CHER has actually been behind. We have to protect the role of both gender, you know, both sides of the coin here. And so as maybe in some situations, the more traditional roles will pop up because of comfort or necessity. We have to protect the great work that we've done to really move society forward on a gender diversity perspective.
No, I certainly agree. But in talking about looking toward the future, you did mention things like the potential of taking a look at other brands or you know, other products and also e-commerce and so on. How do you think, and e-commerce and beer, you don't always put together necessarily, but how do you think your business will change post-crisis?
That's a gajillion dollar question.
Yeah, I know. Well, it could be just that, you know, there'll be more Zoom videos, you know?
And there may be, and I think, you know, from a way of working perspective, I think what we become more comfortable with the fact that, you know, remote working is a possibility and you can be just as productive, if not sometimes even more productive. And I think that's helping to really prioritize the types of meetings and engagements that you need to have, right? So the ones that need to be in person will become more valuable, right? It'll be about discussion and interaction versus going and sitting and listening to a presentation, right? Or building a PowerPoint slide for folks just to listen to. And I think we're going to work smarter. Mm-hmm. Because of this, I think that behavior is still being built. I think from our business perspective, it's really, again, I can't emphasize enough anticipating where our consumers and customers and people are going to go, especially in terms of occasions.
Yes.
So, you know, we're seeing the in-home dynamic change quite a bit. And the role that not just our organization and industry plays, but many others, the role that we play in, you know, creating, you know, whether it's entertainment at home, whether it's more connection time with people that you're at home with, or for those who perhaps are living by themselves or in shared quarters, there's other really cool things that we're starting to see in terms of the way that people can help to create that social connection, because it is so important. Social isolation at this time is, I think, you know, even before COVID, right? Loneliness in the United States, it was the biggest epidemic, right? The biggest challenge that we're seeing for various reasons. And now that has a potential and it is being heightened. So what can we do to get ahead of that and create a more accepting and pleasant experience for people to connect, human connection?
Yeah, that is fascinating. When you see how quickly behavior changed to drink sessions on Zoom and just being able to reach out with someone. No, it's amazing, and it's a great way to think ahead. Now, thinking ahead, what do you think the first thing you will do when the situation improves, when we're out of quarantine? I know one of the first is probably to go somewhere to have a beer, but no.
One, I want to go back home.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I feel bad for my plants at the moment.
Yes.
You know, I think I'm not an expert. I'm not a physician, but I do read a lot. I am listening to many more podcasts and the experts daily. But I think, you know, we are fundamentally human beings, and at the very basic core of us is the need to connect with each other. And there is going to be a return back to in-person connection, but I think it's going to take time, right? And it depends on how people have been impacted throughout this situation. So, you know, folks who have been hit really hard in certain areas, like in New York City, like Italy, like Spain, like China, unfortunately, may have a different perspective than maybe some folks who haven't been hit as hard. Let's say some of the counties and the states where it hasn't really hit peak yet. You know, people may be more careful about shaking hands or going to nightclubs, areas where, you know, hygiene and sanitation might be, at least, you know, perceptually, emotionally, quite a bit of a challenge. So I think there's going to be some things that we're going to have to be mindful of. But I think over time, we're going to connect back as human beings. But the first thing, yeah, I cannot wait to go out to dinner and have a beer with my husband and my friends and just, yeah, have a date night.
Yeah, I know. Or even have people over or something. I think that's the thing that we're all missing. Well, hopefully it won't be long. And some of the lessons we've learned from this and the way that we've adapted, maybe we can keep some of those alive, you know, and not necessarily forget about them. But I do hope that as things return to, whether it's a new normal or a next normal, I hope you come back and constantly tell us about more of what you're doing, what your teams are doing around the world.
Well, Deborah, thank you. And I honestly can't wait to hear what everyone else is doing as well, because we're learning and inspired from, I think, all the amazing work that other companies and brands and individuals are doing, truly. So thank you again for inviting me and the time. And I'm looking forward to seeing you and having a beer with you in person.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jody. Okay. Well, we'll talk to each other soon. Thanks, Jody, for being a part of today's show and for being an essential part of our marketing community. You've inspired our listeners to consider several ideas on how to motivate teams and navigate a changing industry. Now back to Rick.
And thanks for joining us for another Internationalist Trendsetter Show hosted by Deborah Malone. To get further information on today's topic, visit the-internationalist.com, your trusted source for innovative marketing trends, best practices, aspiring to create new world standards. Have a great week. And thanks to our sponsor, Gracefully Yours Greeting Cards, and their hilarious Church Kitchen Lady cards. Church Kitchen Ladies are a bunch of maybe 20 million volunteers across the United States that work in 300,000 churches, and they say stuff like, mind your own biscuits and life will be gravy. They also say, crunch tacos, not abs. And psst, your crazy is showing, you might want to tuck that back in. And one of our favorites is, life is short, lick the bowl. If you want to find out more about the wonderful Church Kitchen Ladies and join their roundtable, go to gracefully-yours.com today and find out about Church Kitchen Ladies and purchase all the rest of the fine Gracefully Yours greeting cards. This show is brought to you by Success Made to Last. Success Made to Last is a multimedia company with a focus on you and releasing your full potential. If you want to find out more information about all the programs associated with this company, go to successmadetolast.com.